Accession number 27316, Reel 1.
Keith Stiley, Reel 1. Can you tell me, first of all, where you were born?
In Cheltenham.
Yeah.
In the... Well, yeah, lived in Cleveland Street, yeah.
And what did your father do?
I didn't have one.
Right.
I'm one of those. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't bother me because of the simple reason, you make your own life anyway, yeah.
And so you lived with your mum, did you?
Yeah, and my grandmother.
And where did you go to school?
Swindon Road, and then the school which is down over
the technical or the grammar school, or
the one that's in Gloucester Road.
Oh, right.
Oh, they've just built houses on it.
Yes.
Central School. It was called the Central School. It was really a school where you did 4 years, and you had to take an exam to get in there, obviously. And the idea was that you were fit for kind of office jobs when you left there.
Right. And what age did you leave school?
15 and a quarter.
And what did you want to do? Did you have any ambitions about what you actually wanted to do?
Yeah, I wanted a job with a chemist firm, but I didn't get it. And I ended up going into the post office, which I must admit I've never regretted anyway. It was a very enjoyable job for the most part.
So this was what, in the mid-30s, was it?
Late 30s. 1941.
So did you follow the war? Did you take a great interest in it?
Well, we lived down St Paul's, and we had a few bombs down there. So you automatically took an interest in it. I mean, you go on to when I was I joined up, I presume. Well,
so did you do any air raid?
Fire watching was a favourite every night. Yes, there was money in that.
What did you get paid?
I can't remember.
Where did you do it?
In the main high street. Yeah.
So you were doing a little bit then.
Well, that's true. And then I joined the Home Guard, the Post Office Home Guard.
Really?
Yeah.
And where did they meet?
Well, we used to meet in at the post office in Post Office Lane, and then Sundays was a regular to go on a parade, and we usually did rifle drill and shooting practice up at Seven Springs, straight up Cirencester Road, up the top of the hill there. Go past it now and remember it. There were three of us, quite young. We were only 17, and we were always the ones that had to go run up the hill afterwards and get the flag down, because and then meet you at the bottom of the hill, you know. Well,
so you had real rifles?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and we practice what they called sticky bombs, which you stuck on the side of a tank and ran away and hoped it would blow up. We did practice with hand grenades too. You know, that was on the top of Cleve Hill. If you go what we call Hags Hill, straight up, you've probably been up there sometime in the car. It's on the top of nowhere.
On the sort of wasteland before
you
get to the common.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there's lots of dips there, aren't there?
Yeah.
Little dips. Those are
handmade. I knew it very well, actually, because I did a delivery up there on a bike when I was 16, so I knew my way around. Even in the... Sometimes you could be up there when there was a lot of cloud about, and you could get lost if you weren't careful.
So doing a delivery on a bike up on the top of Cleve Hill, which is, what, 1,100 feet high?
Yeah, near enough.
You were quite a fit young man, weren't you?
Oh, well, reasonably, yes. Yeah.
So what did you think about being called up? You knew you were going to be called up. What did you feel about that?
Well, originally when I had a mate who went in the Navy at the age of 16, and I wanted to go in the Navy as well. Anyway, we went over for had a medical and what have you, and then an interview afterwards.
Where was this?
At Gloucester. And I always remember my mate who was a Londoner. He came from London and was evacuated here, married a local girl actually. He went in, he was first to go in for the interview. There was about 20 of us. And he said, he came out and he said, "Oh, they're going to throw us all in the army." He said, "They don't want anybody in the Navy at all." So I said, "Well, I couldn't care less, so, you know, just want to get in." And he was the only one that went in the Navy, and all the rest of us went in the Army.
So why did you want the Navy?
Well, I suppose I was always interested in ships, something, you know. No real reason, really. I had a mate who was in the Navy, and I suppose I wanted to be with him anyway. But the thing was, you had to join up somewhere. So, I mean, you plug for what you thought you wanted.
So the call-up papers, when they came, they sent you in the army, did they?
Yes.
Yeah. Where did you have to report to?
Colchester.
And what was that like? You went off on the train, did you?
Yes.
Yeah. What was that
Six.
Journey like?
Oh, no trouble, really. I mean, we did what they call 6 weeks PTC training. And
this was a training centre, or yes. Were you with a regiment then?
Well, it was Gloucester, the Gloucesters, actually.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, it was all basic training.
And what did you do in your basic training? You did rifles? And
yes, plenty of square bashing, marching, practice with a rifle. And I probably would have ended up, I was a section leader there, you know, you had a squad and they were divided into three, and I was a section leader of one of them, and I would have ended up probably in Europe, but unfortunately we had an assault course there, and you didn't have to go over it. But I mean, I suppose we were mainly stupid. And I went over this assault course and jumped over this, into this pit, and landed badly and did my knee. So, of course, that stopped me marching, didn't it? So,
what did you do to it?
I just wrenched it, yeah. You know.
So what sort of treatment did you have?
Oh, well, really, they couldn't do very much for it, only rest it. But I think they felt that I wouldn't be any good at running around as a soldier sort of thing, you know.
Infantry, yeah.
So I went in, I joined the RASC. They put me in.
That was straight from Colchester.
Yes.
Yeah. So you had to leave all your friends you'd made on your 6 weeks.
Well, that's right. Yeah. They did split you up anyway. Mm. I mean, funny enough, interesting point. when I was down there, we had two or three chaps that had been transferred from the Navy into the Army. They were on our course, and I think probably this was because, I mean, they had been losing. I mean, June was the invasion sort of thing, and they were losing a lot of bodies. So of course, they didn't want them in the Navy so much, did they? You know,
yeah, the Army had the greatest need.
Exactly, yeah, at that time. So
were they disappointed to come out of the Navy? Do you know why they were picked out? Or
no. No real reason at all, I don't think. I mean, some of them have been in there a year or more. But I think it's like anything else. A job becomes redundant, I suppose. You know, if you're on some kind of ship which they don't need anymore, find another job for you.
So you got sent to the RAFC. Where was that?
It's Sheffield, just outside Sheffield.
So that must have been very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about arriving at Sheffield and what sort of place it was.
Well, it was lovely. You know, they had, it was a lovely city to my mind. They had trams there, of course, in those days, and they really went around. Now, all we did really there was go out every day in lorries and learn to drive.
Right. You know? So you did a driving course.
Yes. Yeah.
Was that something you wanted to do?
Well, whether I wanted to or no, I did it.
And what sort of vehicles did you train on?
Well, everything, actually. You had these the ambulances and 3-ton lorries, Bedfords they were mainly, and some of the American Chevrolets, weren't they? There was quite a mixture, actually, and you went from one to the other sort of thing, you know, always two of you. And we went all around the Derbyshire
Peak District.
When you go straight out from Sheffield, you go up into the Derbyshire Moors, don't you? Yeah, it was November. It was a bit cold sometimes. We found out, I remember one night they used to go out, we went out on like two or three days at a time. And I remember one night we ended up in some pigsties at Alvindarish or somewhere. And when you woke up in the morning, when you got up in the morning, something, you still had to wash and shave in cold water. And I wasn't used to that.
And what was daily life like? Was it very different from being in an infantry regiment?
Well, yes. I don't think it was so... there wasn't so much activity sort of thing, really. I mean, driving was it was a bit boring sometimes, you know. I mean, some people used to, well, as co-drivers sort of thing, you know, used to literally go to sleep. I mean, they weren't supposed to, but, you know, you get lulled into driving around all the time, you know.
Which was the most difficult vehicle to drive?
American Chevrolet. You couldn't get into gear. Blasted things.
That was a lorry, was it?
Yeah. About a 3-tonner.
Do you remember any of the instructors?
No, I don't.
Were they quite sort of benevolent, or did they get a bit impatient?
They were very strict that you always had your two hands on the wheel, especially around bends. I always remember we had a Londoner who in his third, about 35, so he was, you know, he could drive anyway. And he used to go around with one hand and stick the other one out, and, you know. And they really, really did make a fuss about him, sort of thing, you know. And sound right. No, that's not the way to do it, sort of thing. And when you were told not to do things, sort of thing, you do them the way they wanted them.
Yeah. So how long did you stay at Sheffield?
Only about a month.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I came home on leave for a week or so, and then went out to got sent out direct to Belfast.
So lots of things were going on at this time over in Europe. Did you
yes.
hear what was going on?
Yes. I mean, when I went to Belfast, we found that we were driving a lot of Europeans around, like from Belgium and places like that. So they had been starting to liberate, you know, and they were coming over to Ireland and being trained, sort of thing, to go back to fight. You know, so it was one place where they could put them. The other thing was you had quite a lot of Americans over in Ireland. In the Skinning, I remember, was one place where, funny enough, in the Skinning was... next door, you know, Donegal is next door to it, and they used to say to you, well, you've only got to just go down the road a few miles or something if you want to get out of the army and you're in Ireland era properly.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of the Americans?
Oh, well, never bothered me at all. I mean, they always had everything. Sort of thing. I mean, the stuff they had, and later on, I learnt to drive an American Mack. These, you know, you see them in on the telly, don't you know, on films and that, you know, the big American Mack, and they're a marvelous thing, marvelous wagons. I mean, compared with what we had.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Belfast were you?
Malone Park.
Sorry, Malone Park.
Malone
Park, right. What sort of place was that? Was that a proper brick-built barracks?
No, or? It was all these Nissen huts or anything, you know. The Irish were very good. I mean, very good to us, actually, the civilians.
And what did you do in your spare time there? Did you...
go to Belfast or something, and there was all the pictures from there, you know. I mean, you from there, we used to go all around Northern Ireland. So, I mean, you could be out 2 or 3 days sometimes, you know, driving.
Yeah, yeah. And you liked that life, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I would rather have been home, of course. But it was interesting, and say the I got to know a family there, just outside Malone Park, and I used to go down and see them most evenings. You know, they were lovely.
So, how long did you stay in Belfast?
What would have been about March, April, I presume, yes, mm-hmm. April.
Yeah.
And then I went to what they call a transit camp mm-hmm. at Ossett in Yorkshire. Mm-hmm. And from there, I went to a holding place at Southend-on-Sea. We were... stationed in houses, actually. There were rows of houses where you had personnel in these sort of thing, and what happened was that when they wanted to get hold of you, you know, it came up on orders, and when I got my marching orders sort of thing, I ended up going to it must have been Southampton where we went from. on the on a ship. No, what? Oh, I only thought of this the other day. No. Anyway, from there we went to went out to Egypt.
So, what did you feel about going abroad?
Well, it was interesting, actually.
Quite glad.
Yeah, it. I must admit, going across the Med was really nice, actually. The, you know, I always remember the porpoises. In the front of the ship, the prow bow of the ship, sort of thing, you know. It was a nice journey, I suppose. Anyway.
Yeah. And where did you land?
Port. It must have been Port Said. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right, Port Said. And we went up the desert to. A place called Fanara.
How do you spell that?
Fanara.
And what sort of a place was that?
All just sand and pebbles. Anyway, camps everywhere, you know.
Had you taken vehicles with you?
No, we went by train. Right. Yeah. Rough. Stayed there for a few days and then got posted to driving, what was it, 285 company, RESC company, in Cairo, and they had ERFs, great big wagons. I was I 18 plus, and driving a 8-ton wagon with a 5-ton trailer on the back. Okay. All right.
So you had these large vehicles. Yeah. So they were American, were they?
No, these are English. They had Gardner engines in them. They were 8-ton. You could carry 10 tons on them. The 5-ton trailers were American, and you could carry 5-ton on those. So. And they didn't have servo assisted on them. You pushed yourself into the back of the vehicle to stop them.
You were driving for 285 company.
Yeah.
What were they doing? What was their main duty?
It was general, actually. One of the things they used to fetch was vegetables and things like that. And then one of the trips, which I'm... would have liked to have gone on, but I didn't, was used to go up to Beirut with a load of medical supplies. Because we had troops up in Beirut in those days.
What was your daily life like there in Cairo? Whereabouts were you living?
In a barracks, beautiful barracks. They were lovely. Bed, proper little bed, sheets, it was tennis courts. It was a, well, of course, it was a pre-war barracks, you know, so it was beautiful, really. Yeah, lovely.
And what did you do in your spare time?
Play tennis and go swimming in the pool that they had there. Lovely.
Yeah, so not bad. I mean, did you hear what was going on in Europe in the war at this time?
Yes, I mean...
coming round to...
Well, that was near enough finished then.
Where were you on VE Day? Do you remember that?
Yeah, playing tennis in this... Actually, I remember that. Because it was... it came out something, you know, on the wireless, you know, and it was really something, because... It was obvious to me that would be a jumping off place to go from Egypt through the Red Sea out to India and what have you. I mean, that you could see that later on in life, you know, when you put two and two together.
So you were collecting vegetables
from etc.
the market, were you?
Yeah.
Or from, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And will you be distributing around all the different...
All over the place, yeah.
So you must have got quite a good idea of... I mean, there must have been a lot of Allied troops in Europe.
Oh, there was.
In Egypt, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, you had 100,000 troops in Palestine.
Really?
Yeah.
And you drive all the way to Palestine?
Yeah, all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
So where else did you go? Tell me.
Well, I didn't stay there very long because they started the war then had finished, and it was obvious to me that they had all this ammunition, they had to get rid of it, and I ended up with a same company but and a different branch, which drove. They were gun. They were like big jeeps. They towed guns and that, but they were had four wheel drive. And what we used, what we did, was take all this ammunition out into the desert and they blow it up.
Do you know whereabouts you took it?
Just near Finnara, not very far from Finnara.
Yeah.
Just down the road from there, not very far. It was really just a dead place, you know. I mean, it was no good to anybody anyway. But they had to get rid of it all, obviously. And we used to have something like 10 of these wagons rolling, carrying this stuff, and put in a great big, three piles. You'd have about 40, 50 tons in one pile, and they blow it up. And it was quite tremendous, really.
Were you there when they blew it up, or were you?
No, you're a mile away.
Yeah. That's been quite an explosion, then.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah. One of the, you saw some wonderful sights there, really. I mean, one of the wonderful sights I ever saw was. With a mortar bomb, you've got all this cordite in the bottom, you remember, and they'd used to, you may drop it in, it would fire. But it's not an explosion as such. It's like a diesel, and it just throws it straight in the air. Now, cordite, when it's loose, I mean, I've seen tons of this all laid out in a row, you know, backwards and forwards in a zigzag for about half a mile, and then they would set it off with a fuse, and it would be a flash, one big flash. It was marvellous. I always remember the officer there trying to take pictures of it when it was going off. But this was stuff that they had to get rid of, sort of thing, you know. I mean, there was so much of it. When the war was over, well, what do you do with it?
Yeah. And it was the engineers, was it?
Yeah. Well, I didn't get on very well with the sergeant, so I was getting more per week than the sergeant, although I was only a private, because I was a civil servant from the post office, and I got what they call balance of civil pay, so I was actually getting my full pay as a private. It's amazing, isn't it? Anyway, this sergeant didn't like me for some reason or other, and I thought, I've got to get out of here. So it came up on orders that they wanted people in the post office, ex-post office. So that's how I joined the post office at at Finnara.
They had a post office there.
Oh, yeah. It was marvellous.
Yeah. So you went in there as a clerk? Or
clerk on the counter. Yeah.
And what sort of a post office was it? Was this just for British soldiers?
Yeah, yes. British, yeah. Country, yeah. I mean, we used to open from... 9 o'clock in the morning till about 1 o'clock, and then but we used to we had to get the mail in the mornings. 7 o'clock, the wagon would go up about 30 or 40 miles, I suppose, and we would meet another wagon which had our mail on it. They'd bring it down, we'd sort it out, and then all the units from around would collect it, including, funny enough, some Navy people. We were right on the shores of the Bittern Lakes, and the canal, the Suez Canal, ran through those, and we used to serve them with mail as well, just the same.
Keith Stiley, end of reel one.